From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, August 10th, 2020. The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting 7 new cases of COVID-19 today and no new deaths, holding that number at 125. There are currently 387 active cases of the disease in Maine. Governor Janet Mills has issued a statement this afternoon on President Donald Trump's executive orders issued over the weekend. The governor says they raise more questions than they answer. Mills writes Trump's actions, quote, appear to subordinate real relief for unemployed Americans to partisan gamesmanship. Mills goes on to say, quote, Congress must step up, put aside the partisanship, and reach consensus on a comprehensive coronavirus relief package. State Labor Commissioner Laura Fortman, in the same statement, writes that it's not clear how to implement the president's proposal to pay $400 a week more to unemployed Americans. And it's now up to striking Bath Iron Works machinists to decide if they like the tentative agreement reached by negotiators. The proposed deal was hammered out last week in meetings between the striking Local S6 and company representatives held by a federal mediator. The employees struck June 22nd over disputes with management over the future use of subcontractors and proposed changes to seniority rules. The language in the agreement phases out many subcontractors and protects employee seniority in many cases. The contract would also give workers the 3% annual raise that had been part of the pre-strike offer. Union members will vote on the agreement remotely during a 3-day period from August 21st to the 24th. In weather tonight, partly cloudy skies with some fog along the coast, very muggy tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and humid with some isolated showers and thunder inland and highs in the low 80s to the mid 90s. Last week, the state announced that based on current health data, schools across Maine can consider reopening this fall. Many districts are taking that lead and planning to reopen at least partially. But for many teachers and staffers, the idea of going back into a school setting is causing anxiety, and some are considering retiring and leaving the classroom for good. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Jan Murphy has taken a lot of calls in recent weeks from anxious teachers.
They start off with, hey, I just want to talk to you about, I'm worried about going back to work, and I'm not sure if I should retire or not. That's usually how they start. I was, for a while, getting 2 to 3 phone calls a week.
Murphy is a speech-language therapist and the president of the union representing school staff in the Augusta School Department.
People are calling me saying, I don't feel safe, I'm going to retire. And they are of retirement age, but maybe they weren't ready to retire, and or maybe their doctor has told them you cannot go back in any capacity. And it's sad. It's really sad to me that we were at this point.
Right now, Murphy is telling her colleagues to hold off, to wait and see what final decisions are reached around school reopening plans before deciding one way or the other. And she says she feels mostly confident in the health and safety protocols developed so far by her district. But Murphy estimates that about 10% of the staff have come to her with questions about whether to return this fall. The concerns are being felt across the state, and some teachers, such as those in Portland and Lewiston, have called on their districts to reconsider reopening plans and continue with remote learning until questions are answered. Allison Litton is the president of the Lewiston Education Association.
The health and safety of all is paramount to anything, for educators, for their families, and for our students and their families. And we need to be assured that all concerns are addressed prior to setting foot in a building.
Wyndham first grade teacher Rebecca Cole, like many of her colleagues around the state, says she wants to see her students and has largely been supportive of the health and safety protocols her district has developed. But with only a few weeks left until classes begin, Cole says she still has lots of questions, in particular around how she should stay 6 feet apart in a classroom.
But as a first grade teacher, you know, there's shoelaces that need to be tied and fingers that need band-aids, and I lost a tooth, and you know, I'm not going to be able to have that love, you know, relationship and be able to care for them in that way like I would like to and like they need. It is really sad to think about how different their experience will be from what I know it can be and should be.
Those questions become even more complicated for school bus drivers like Jerry French. French works for RSU 71 in Belfast and is also the vice president of the teachers union there. He says a bus is a confined space, and when he's behind the wheel, students may be only inches away as they get on and off each day.
50 or 60 students could pass to get on that bus to go to school, and they have to pass to get off. Then they have to pass again to get on. By the time it's said and done, you're talking nearly 200 students have been within inches of you in one given day, which is 1,000 in a week.
And beyond the exposure, French also worries about how to get his students to follow state guidelines when his eyes are supposed to be on the road.
Somebody has got to enforce the mask policy. How much extra time would somebody want me to not be looking at the road and be looking at, you know, my kindergarten kids who don't like masks, don't understand pandemics? I just don't understand how much more time I'm supposed to not be looking at the road and looking at these students to police that.
Maine Department of Education officials have acknowledged many challenges for schools come fall, with Commissioner Pender Macon describing staffing issues as a, quote, grave concern. Deputy Commissioner Dan Chuda says that based on early results from statewide surveys, about 20% of school staff across Maine may choose not to attend in person in the fall, mostly for health and safety reasons. Chuda says right now the department is looking into partnering with public colleges to potentially recruit students to fill the needed positions.
We're looking to see if there are any modifications to certification rules that would need to be in place in order to accomplish some of this, but there seems to be some interest in getting some support from our higher education partners to help that, both for teaching staff as well as for some of our ed tech opportunities as well.
But the potential shortage only compounds the long-standing challenges that schools have already faced in trying to find teachers and bus drivers in recent years. Some districts say it's been difficult to even get one or two applicants for some positions. Finding substitutes is also a challenge, and because they tend to be older and at higher risk, they may become even harder to recruit. Janice Sarabona, a former teacher and current substitute in MSAD 35 in Elliott, says she's decided that the health risks from the pandemic will likely mean she won't go back into the classroom this fall.
I'd be in a room with kids, and I had their parents in pre-K, and it was just a family and a place, and I just felt a part of something. It gave me a purpose that I had some value still, and I think that's why it's so hard to have to say I probably can't do it.
Some districts have said they plan to allow certain teachers, particularly those with underlying medical conditions, to work remotely. Deputy Education Commissioner Dan Chuda says that strategy could potentially keep those teachers engaged with their students. But across Maine, many questions still need to be answered before many teachers feel safe in the classroom. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And for disclosure, the Maine Education Association represents most of Maine Public's news staff. Maine's two U.S. senators say President Trump's weekend executive orders and memoranda will not help mitigate the economic impact of the pandemic. Mal Leary has more.
Republican Susan Collins and independent Angus King say some of the president's actions, such as the suspension of the collection of payroll taxes to fund Social Security and Medicare, are bad policy. Collins says she believes that Trump knows his actions can't change law, but hopes they will spur some kind of compromise.
The president knows he can't do anything about most of those. I think that his payroll tax provisions are a mistake.
Keek says some of his actions may be unconstitutional and others illegal, and that what he has proposed doesn't do what is needed. He says the $400 a week bonus unemployment payment, which requires the state to pick up $100 a week of the cost, is not enough to keep families and the economy afloat while the pandemic runs its course.
We made a stab at it, but what he did doesn't cover business help. It doesn't help the schools. It doesn't help the states, testing, hospitals, stimulus checks.
Collins said there's a rough framework of a compromise in two bills that have bipartisan support in Congress. One measure would set the bonus unemployment payment at 80% of a state set maximum payment, or $400, whichever is less. The other would split the difference on funding for aid to the states. The House Democrats' bill sets it at $1 trillion. The Republican Senate proposes no funding. Collins says a compromise bill she's co-sponsoring would provide $500 billion to the states.
It is gaining some traction. For one thing, the bill in the Senate is bipartisan. There are six of us who introduced it, three Democrats, three Republicans.
King says there have been almost nonstop conference calls and discussions trying to reach a compromise, so he remains hopeful that something can be worked out in the next few days. Governor Janet Mills says governors of both parties stressed to Vice President Mike Pence in a conference call that Congress needs to act on a broad array of programs to help the economy get through the pandemic. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock. I'm Nora Flaherty.